All right, so I am going to talk about fishing, as in phishing. Not sure who came up with that or where it came from, but so we're going to talk about fishing and how not to get caught in the net. So I have 10 tips. So I think I'm going to read those first, and then I'm going to share my screen and show you some emails that I received recently, and some of them look really real, you know, and we've all gotten those. So please be patient with me. I'm sure some of these you're well aware of. But first tip is to check the spelling and of the email and domain names. Even though it says invoice from Amazon, if you actually look at the spelling of the email address it's coming from, it may say Amazon or two Z's or, you know, something like that, just so it sounds right and it looks right to the eye. And I will show you a little bit about that. Next one is to check for typos, grammar errors, phone numbers, and the context of the message. So I'll show you one where I got a phone number that looked, you know, pretty real, but it sounded real, you know, because, you know, when we're listening to it with the screen reader, it's going to be a little different than when you're looking at the screen. So it said 803 when I went through it character by character. I said, wait a minute, 803, that doesn't sound like a company number. And then I asked the A lady, and she said, oh no, that's whatever, you know, whatever city it was, right? So that kind of helps a little bit too. Generally, in spam emails, we do tend to see some errors or grammar errors, and usually a big company wouldn't let an email go out like that, right? Now, I have to say that the spammers are getting smarter and smarter. I mean, I've seen some very well-written emails that look real. I had one recently from a bank, and it was very well written. I could tell that the email was a little different, but it looked close enough. So what I actually did was called my bank. Did you send me an email? This is what it refers to. And they said no. So that's another way to check it, you know, to call the company and find out if there were particular emails going out about a particular subject. And I even do that with calling. My bank called me about something, and I wasn't sure who was actually calling me. They said they were from Chase Bank, and what they were asking me sounded real, but I wasn't going to give my information. So what I did was I called Chase Bank back, and then went through whatever steps I needed to make sure that I was giving the information to the right person. Never share sensitive information through email, not your social security number. Whatever sensitive information means for you, I know for some people it means different things. You know, some people are very comfortable sharing their address or their phone number over email, some are not. So some of these things you may be more comfortable sharing by phone. Don't fall for urgency. That's a big one. I need your money right now. Because, you know, tomorrow the world is going to change, something will happen, and I don't know, you know, I'm going to crash and I won't be able, my computer will crash and I won't be able to get your information anymore. Or, you know, just some sort of real urgent information. All right, we don't want to click on links in an email unless you're absolutely sure that it's from the bank or from the, you know, or from the company that you mean for it to be from. So what I tend to do is, rather than click on the links in my email, let's say if it's from Amazon, but I'm not sure, or for whatever reason, I have some doubt, I'll go online. I'll just go to my browser, type Amazon.com, and then look for the invoice or whatever it is that that the link was supposed to give me. I know that's a little bit more work, but if you're at all in doubt, it's worth the work so that you don't go to a site that could be risky. Okay, opening attachments, that's a big one. So unless you're really expecting it, we don't want to open attachments. So let's say my bank sent me an attachment. Well, that seems really unusual that a bank would send me an attachment, unless it was something I asked for. Like I called them up and I asked for a statement. So if I see an attachment from something, from bank, from, you know, different a company that I'm not expecting an attachment, I won't open it. Now, I might call the bank and ask if they sent me an email with an attachment. Again, a little more of a workaround. You know, but I'm not trying to be overly careful, but I also don't want to fall into a situation where I get a virus or so forth. Be aware of emails that offer rewards, goods, and services that are too good to be true. You know, you can get this computer for only $10. For $10, we will send you a computer all loaded, fully loaded, has everything. Something's wrong there, right? Okay. And then we want to maintain your antivirus update, maintain your OS updates on your phones, and check on your accounts every once in a while. I do this every month. I check my bank account just to go down the list, a quick down the list, or you can listen to it on the phone, right? You can listen to all your credit card information on the phone and just listen, where did I spend my money this month? And this has happened several times to me where I found charges that I do not remember making. I was pretty sure I didn't make for whatever reason. And unfortunately, that was true. And I've had to, you know, cancel the card. And it's so annoying to have to do that. But I'd say it's happened to me at least 3-4 times already. So because, you know, we give our credit card information over the phone a lot. And we hope that it's taken care of, that it's not being copied somewhere, but, you know, who knows, right? Okay. And the other quick tip I want to give you is to change passwords regularly. Now, this is really annoying because you can barely remember all the passwords you already have, right? So to change passwords is kind of, you know, but maybe like once or twice a year, I'll go and change a password for my more sensitive accounts, like banks, like anything that would have financial information. A quick story there is I can no longer online load my Clipper card. So for those of you who are out of the Northern California area, Clipper is like your BART card. That's how you get on BART. That's how you pay for your train rides, right? Well, somehow a long time ago, I guess my name was taken. So now when I go into Clipper and I try to sign on, somebody else has access to my name. And anyway, I've tried to fix it with the company and it got all mixed up. So the bottom line is I can no longer add to my Clipper card online. I can add to it through my through the machines at BART. So it's frustrating, right? So let me quickly show you some emails. I'm going to share my screen.
Agenda for the talk. Jaws Home Use Spams of Only at
Gmail. Right. So I'm in my spam folder. When I came here yesterday, there were over 150 messages. So clearly I don't look at it enough.
Sally McGuire.
So I kept a few for today.
Billing department. Your invoice. Sat 4/30/2022/11:41 a.m. 44 KB.
Invoice. Okay. And what I tend to do when I'm curious, and I want to check email and so forth, there's a number of ways to do this, but the way I do it is I do a forward.
So edit.
Hit Control F. I'm in Outlook. And I go to the
BCC subject edit FW. Edit.
And now I'm at the top
blank.
And I just arrow down.
Level 0. Original message. From billing department Jalen Thomas 82732@gmail.com.
Okay, so it's from billing department with a very bizarre email address at gmail.com. Right away, I can see something's not quite right here.
Sent Saturday, April 30th, to Zavoli at gmail. Subject, your invoice. Blank, 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 welcome, blank, welcome to e-shopping with us. Blank, we are sending you the shipping order. Confirmation details are indicated below and the amount will be auto-deducted from your bank account within the next 12 hours. In case you need to return an item from this shipment, please verify your email account and banking account. Please connect to our billing team to +1-800-687-875 blank.
All right, so yeah, they want me to connect and give them my account information, billing information, right away for me, when I see the email address already, I'm suspicious here. And then now this is an email that doesn't have any spelling errors. It didn't have any grammar errors. It sounds real-ish, but
blank.
Definitely not. Okay, so I'm going to come out of this
list box
one.
Billing.
My next one looks like it's from someone in my chapter.
Sally McGuire, FW. Note from Sally McGuire, Sat 4/30/2022/11:08 a.m.
All right, so it looks like from Sally in my chapter. So, of course, I'm going to open it.
Read only edit. I thought you might remember them, so I wanted to share these pics. Link http://.
Okay, so this one says, I thought you might remember them. So I wanted to share these pics. I wanted to share these pictures with you. So now, am I expecting any pictures from Sally? No. And remember what? Remember who? What? So already I got a little bit suspicious here. So I hit the forward.
FW.
So
note from Sally.
Look at the top.
BC's subject. At blank original message from Sally McGuire and Rajana.Mladenovic.13.dls@singemail.rs.
Oh my goodness.
Oh boy. That's from Russia. Jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, that's way off.
All right. So even if it looks like it's someone that you know, and these are the common ones we get actually these days. Like I've seen them from Gabe, I've seen them from Judy Wilkinson, but as soon as, if you're at all suspicious, I mean, would Gabe be writing to me about, I don't know, taking a roller coaster ride? Now, he might, but if I'm not sure, I'm going to go through my little process here to make sure and check it out. And notice I also did not click on the link to go online to find out what the pics were.
Read only edit.
Not suspicious enough.
Blank.
Curious enough.
Spams
to do
of
that.
Only a
All right, that's Sally.
Walmart update. Transaction no number WMT1662150.
All right. This looks like it's from Walmart. I'm going to open this.
Read only edit. Walmart. Walmart order. Blank. Thank you for your recent purchase on Walmart. You paid $1,650 over this order.
Yeah, so clearly I spent money at Walmart. Do I remember going to Walmart? Do I remember spending any money at Walmart? No. So right away, I'm like, what? No, I didn't spend any money. Now, if every once in a while, if I'm not sure, or maybe I did go to Walmart and I don't remember, I'd rather go and check my bank account or check my credit card account than to click on a link here.
Contact our customer service team at +1-803-965-5226-1800 Walmart.
And there's that strange number to call customer service at 803. That doesn't sound like a company number to
Blank.
Me.
Please find your order information below order number BBGBGG1216 lens camera delivery mode debit/credit card.
A lens camera?
Amount $1,000 blank. Amount has been duly received. Blank. If you received an order confirmation email from Walmart other than this, but you did not place an order, please report us at +1-803-965-5226. Blank.
But then what it gave me is the same phone number to call to say to report the, if you don't expect it, to report them, right? Very smart. Very smart. But certainly this is not a phone number I'm going to call. Now I'm going to try the forward here and see what it does.
FW transaction. Subject edit. F. Blank. Original mess from Walmart update. John3167fro@gmail.com.
John. Who's John? 32, 36, whatever, right? Okay. Oops. And I'm just
Spam
pressing escape
Gmail.
To get out of the forward. Okay, so I hope that helps a little bit and give you a little bit of context on what to look for in spam. Any questions?
I have some input. This is Earl.
Sure.
And this also goes for telephone calls.
Mm-hmm.
Do not believe the caller ID that you get. VoIP, voice over IP senders, can send any number they want. Don't bother calling it back. It's probably either a disconnected number or somebody else's phone number. Mm. Don't believe your caller ID information. Every call that comes in is suspect. I got one trying to sell me solar panels from PG&E. They spoofed PG&E's 800 number.
Mm. Good point.
Do not believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give any information on an incoming call. I don't even care if it's somebody you know. And when you call back, absolutely don't call back the number they gave you on the voicemail, and don't call back the number on the caller ID. Both of those are probably bogus.
Mm-hmm.
I spent 18 years with AT&T.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, with voice over IP, they can do anything. And very much like email, the reason spammers and marketing people love email. Because the incremental value cost of an email is zero.
Right.
So they can send out millions.
Yeah.
The same thing with VoIP phone calls. Ever since voice over IP, it's not like the old Bell system days, using especially using robocalls, the incremental cost per call is zero. They send them out millions a minute. Don't believe the numbers. I had Kaiser call me up one time. Turned out to be legitimate. They called me up one time and they said, we have a question about or we need to arrange this appointment for such and such. I said, well, you originated the call. And what I did was I said, what are the last three digits of my medical record number? And they were able to give it to me. So the way they are, whenever you call a bank, they authenticate you. Whenever you get an incoming call, authenticate them every single time. I don't care if it's a friend.
All right.
By the way, this is Frank.
I have a comment.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I think I heard Frank first and then Mike.
Yeah. I checked that 803 number at South Carolina. So why would Walmart be calling you from South Carolina?
I don't know. I think that's John.
Once again,
what's your dough?
You can order a phone number from anywhere. I have an alternate phone number that I use. It's through my UMA system. And mine is from Flagstaff, Arizona.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
you can. Google,
I have a Flagstaff, Arizona telephone number.
Uh-huh.
Does that mean I'm in Flagstaff? No.
Mike?
One thing you can do to keep... To not have to give many companies your credit card number is if you have a PayPal account, make one of the devices that you can get money from or put money into your credit card. And then when you're shopping, look to see if you can pay via PayPal.
Mm-hmm.
In that case, the company you're shopping with doesn't get your credit card information.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
I think that's available on other services like Zelle.
Venmo, those. Yeah. Very good point, Mike.
And
anyone
I won't do business with PayPal, but... there are other ways always. And I wish I still had this feature. I'm hoping that my bank takes it up. It's where you can give a fictitious number with its own expiration date and CVV code that's good for only one transaction. If you can get that feature, that's great.
Anyone else have questions?
I have a question. Maybe everybody else understands it, but why did you do the forward?
Oh, so you can do it different ways. The reason I do forward is because then the heading is right at the top of your, it's as if you're reading the email, but now mm-hmm. the heading is at the top, so you can read heading very easily. But then make sure not to send it. Just press escape.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah. Anyone else have questions?
Just a comment, Steve, here.
Sure.
It's wonderful technology that's here to help us, and it is wonderful technology. The problem is it's a tool for anyone to use for whatever means they – so the flip side of the coin is –
mm-hmm.
very much there.
Yeah. I don't think we need to be suspicious of every email we get, but I mean, you know, we're just being careful, right?
You know, I disagree with that. We do every call that comes in and every email that comes in is suspect until proven otherwise. But I want to mention one more feature that I'm looking at putting on my VoIP line, and that is there is a feature called NOMO Robo, NOMORobo, I believe it is. And it answers your phone. And it says, to make sure this is you're a human being, please dial, and it gives you a two-digit number. And that two-digit number is kind of garbled a little bit so that machines can't determine it. And if, of course, a robocall can't dial that. So it blocks robocalls. I haven't decided whether my sister's using it, and she says it works well.
Mm-hmm. I